Bam.
Bam.
Starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian Wimpen and William Tincup coming to you live today. So I know William's out and traveling, and he might call in sometime in the show. So we'll look for that, and we want to get to our guest as quickly as possible because I'm just thinking she's going to bring some brilliance. She's got bags of brilliance she carries around with her all over the place.
Brian, are you saying I have a lot of baggage? Now, come on.
Yeah, well, you know, let's be honest. Come on.
As long as it's coach, I don't care.
Bags of brilliance, though. That's the thing.
That's
the
right.
Kind of baggage,
that's,
if you're going to have it.
That's right.
So,
all right. Yeah.
So, well, let's get to it. Again, happy Monday to everybody. It is hopefully everybody is dug in and having an amazing day. I know I definitely am, trying to share a little bit of that of exuberance. And let's kick it off with introducing my friend of HR in general in the industry, Susan Post. Welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Oh, thanks so much, Brian. It's happy to be here, and Happy New Year.
Most definitely. So, first of all, let's just have you introduce yourself, and then we'll roll from there.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, for those of you who have not met me, and I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of great HR folks in my close to 15 years with the Society for Human Resource Management, I am the director of the Eastern Region for SHRM, and I work primarily with our volunteer leaders in a 7-state territory from New York up to Maine, out of a home office in upstate New York. I also have 4 field services directors on my team who are in Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Florida, and Texas. So I've kind of got accountability for the eastern half of the U.S. and just, you know, love my work, very energized by all of the great things that not only I see my volunteers doing out there, but HR professionals are doing these days, especially as the economy is rebounding. I think there's still challenges, but I'm always impressed by the great work that HR folks do out there. And luckily, my job gives me the opportunity to travel around, hear their stories, and see what they're doing. So that's my story.
And you are sticking to it. Fantastic.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
So let's jump in. And so what is currently top of mind keeping you up at night within the HR profession?
Well, you know, I think what's keeping me up and is what's keeping, and I think, a lot of HR folks awake at night. I think we're seeing the economy continue to rebound slowly but surely, and that just presents, even though there's some opportunities there in terms of, you know, bringing some folks back into the workforce, filling some positions that have, you know, gone unfilled, or adding some positions. I think that there's just a number of challenges. You know, the real earnings, you know, are rising a little bit over the last year. I think that the, you know, we're starting to see the unemployment rates. I know that the Bureau of Labor Statistics said that, you know, close to half, 42 states and D.C. had unemployment rate decreases in December from a year earlier. So things are coming back, which I think is great. But employers and the HR folks I talk to are just challenged. They're concerned with, are they going to be able to keep the folks that they've had now that other opportunities within their competitors are opening up? And the biggest challenge, I think, is the caliber of, you know, new entrants into the workforce that are coming out of our high schools. Just, you know, they just don't seem to have that kind of same savvy that students did 10, 20 years ago. And so those are the types of things. So it's a good news, bad news kind of thing. So
what do you think, and why do you think that the level of the quality or the caliber, why has that changed?
Well, I think, I don't know if it's just because that's, you know, if it's a generational type of issue. I think that what we're seeing, and I love to tell people this story. I have a niece who I love dearly who's in her early 20s, and she had the opportunity to interview with a company that she was interested in working for. And so she reached out to me, wanted me to do some, you know, some mock interviewing with her so she could prepare and have some good questions to ask. And then she said, Aunt Susan, by the way, you know, when I go for this interview, you know, do you think I should wear my good flip-flops? And I think, you know, it's just that wouldn't have even been a question, you know, 20 years ago. So I think it's just, it's a different mindset. It's a different, you know, if good flip-flops are, you know, what you think is going to do your best presentation for an employer, and nothing against my niece, but it's just a, it's a very different time than when I was doing HR interviewing, you know, back in the day when I was a practicing HR person. So I also think that the skills gap is a huge thing. I know that we're continuing to hear from employers just some basic, you know, work ethic. I do a presentation called for SHRM called HR and Business Ethics, where we're continuing to see, you know, there's a Josephson Institute out in L.A. does a survey every other year of American youth ethics, and they survey 30,000 high school students, and, you know, the numbers that you see that, you know, thinks it's okay to you know, lie or on an exam or to steal something from a store, to lie to your parents, that, you know, it's okay in business that you just have to do whatever you need to do to get ahead. Even those numbers are dropping a little bit. It's, there's still some challenges, and those are just some basic things that I think, again, 10, 20 years ago, you didn't have to worry about that in HR. So I'm not sure what's really causing it, but I know it is a real life situation that folks are grappling with out there.
So kind of flip the script on that deal, just kind of what you just relayed. So is it a case that HR practitioners, the mindset needs to change and say, you know, it's totally cool for walk in, you know, because we haven't told you what you need to wear. Walk in and flip-flops and be presentable, and I want to hear the content, and I want to have a great conversation because you obviously are not operating under our rules yet. Let's have a great conversation. So do you think that the actual kind of mindset needs to change and evolve?
Yeah, I think that that's part of it. We're certainly, it's not the same workplace it was 20 years ago, so we probably need to loosen up some of the things we've held near and dear. I also think that with social media and the way a lot of our new entrants into the workforce are connected in social media, you know, it can help an employer, but it can hurt an employer. You know, I've heard some stories from folks as I'm traveling around my region that, you know, they had a great interview or so they thought with a young applicant who came in, seemed to really impress them. They thought it went really well, and then they find out that on Twitter or on Facebook, the applicant has posted something about, you know, what a bogus company, and, you know, if you're smart, you won't ever want to work there kind of thing. So it's a much different world, and as I tell my volunteers, it's one of the reasons I enjoy working for SHRM now and living vicariously through them in terms of their day-to-day HR stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And I would think that there's probably certain markets that, you know, you're dealing with just more prevalent, I mean, literally more prevalent groups of people that go more casual versus more professional, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if that's a great way to describe it, but I can see definitely like a tech sector area is going to be a little different than a financial sector area.
Sure.
You know, just and not to bring out my stereotypes here, but I just think that if you're walking into Wall Street and you've taken the trains to get there and you're trying to go in and work for Goldman Sachs, it's going to take a certain type of person that's going to go in and present themselves a certain way to even want to entertain doing that.
I think you're right. Yep.
So
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. Yep. Well, and, you know, along the business casual line, it's interesting because, you know, SHRM, we now have at our headquarters offices where we've got about 350 or so of our staff based, you know, we've gone to an all casual policy, which, you know, when I started working for SHRM 15 years ago, that would never have been the case. So, you know, over the years, we've introduced, you know, casual Fridays where people could wear jeans. And then we do used to do a thing that between Memorial Day and Labor Day, you could, you know, dress down. And now we're to, you know, we, I think, have, you know, kind of following what we're hearing out there. And certainly, you know, it's not a bank that we're working for. It's a professional organization. So if you've got meetings with folks from the outside, you tailor your dress accordingly. But even at SHRM, we've gone to a casual, you know, business day kind of attire year round. So I think that organizations need to take a look at that, because it is a different type of employee that's coming in. And some of those things are going to make a difference. And, you know, if you're going to be sitting behind a computer today, do you need to be, you know, wearing a business suit if, you know, the only interaction you have is with folks on the phone or on your computer? So, yep, I think it's a good thing to look at.
Yeah, because I am definitely 100% have always been of the mindset that, you know, I don't think that the performance is better because so much about a dress code. I think the majority, right. I mean, I think that's kind of one of those things that it evens out, because you have your outliers that take that to the extreme, and you just need to performance manage that. You know, for the most part, everybody's going to come in and do a great job, and if they're more relaxed and casual and, you know, it's more that I'm digging in and I'm going to deliver great content every day and do a great job, I think that's the majority of the workforce. Maybe I'm an idealist, but I think that's the 80% are people that really want to do the best they can. And you just, the 20% that's left, you just sort of, you know, you just figure out how to manage them either up or out, one of the two. So,
right.
My soapbox
for the day.
Well,
and I think we also see... Yeah, well, I also see, too, I mean, you know, I work from a home office, so, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sitting here in my business suit right now. I've got my fuzzy slippers on and my Alaska sweatshirt and my favorite gray sweatpants. So, you know, it's one of those things when I think the virtual workplace just gives people a lot more freedom as well, although I'll tell you a funny story, Brian. The other day we were trying to figure out, we have team meetings that we do because we have our field services staff that's all over the country, and then, you know, part of our team that's based down in Washington, D.C. area at our headquarters. And, you know, we've been trying to figure out how these biweekly conference calls that we use to stay connected, you know, what can we add to just the conference call portion. So we called Kathy Kiefer, one of our fabulous IT folks at headquarters, and it was early in the morning, and we were on a conference call with her. And all of a sudden she says, now, come on, log into, you know, our web platform, and, you know, let's try something out. Well, the next thing I know, my picture was plastered along with my colleagues all over the screen. And, you know, because I work out of a home office at 9 a.m., I haven't sometimes combed my hair, you know, or, you know, I was still wearing my jammies. So I was very happy that it was just four ladies that were getting a good laugh out of seeing how we all looked in our home offices. But it's changed things. And, I mean, we're now using that format on our call, and the ability to be able to see folks while we're talking to them just has people more engaged. And, you know, I think, like you said, I agree with you 100%. It's less about what you're wearing and more about what you're contributing and what effort and what kind of contributions you're making. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and again, it's, I think that the there is definitely a part to that, right? I think at some point that, you know, the business casual line definitely makes a difference. But at the end of the day, I think that's a cultural shift where, you know, it's people digging in, because you've got some of the greatest minds, you know, that are sitting in some of the technology players, you know, companies out there, cranking away, doing their thing, and they are barely dressed. So combed their hair in probably since 2011. So it's all good. But to each their own, figure that out. So tell us a little bit about what you've been hearing kind of on – how is – I love asking this question. So social media – social technologies. Mm-hmm. how does it intersect? I mean, you deal, you're kind of at an interesting kind of intersection with folks because you see a lot of HR practitioners, you talk to them, you're also there, part of the association that's representing not only the practitioner but also the profession. And so what conversations are you having? What are you hearing around kind of the social technologies and maybe even, you know, talk about mobile technologies? And let's just get a take for somebody that has a different angle on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's a couple of ways to talk about it. I mean, first of all, what we're seeing is, you know, we have a network of close to 600 chapters and 52 state councils. And, you know, I personally, in the 15 years I've worked at SHRM, have never felt more connected to these folks because most of them, most of the chapters, most of the affiliates have some type of a LinkedIn page, a Facebook page. They're on Twitter. So it's really easy for me to kind of get a sense of what they're working on, what some kind of the challenges are, what the HR professionals in their areas are dealing with. So, you know, from that perspective, I think it's great. I think what, as we move forward, virtual is something that, you know, we at SHRM especially need to think about because right now we have chapters that are, you know, they are mostly holding in-person meetings. It's mostly for folks that live within, you know, a certain mile radius of a particular city, depending on which state you're in. But, you know, do you need to be a person who lives in Elmira, New York, to participate in the HR Association of the Twin Tiers? You know, what if you are, you know, for example, Corning Incorporated is right up the road from us. They have facilities in many places around the world. And, you know, what if your home base is here, but you want to connect with some of the folks, you know, in China where they have, you know, operations, or in North Carolina or in Germany? So I just think there's lots of opportunity. I don't think social media is fully tapped. I think it's one of those things that our chapters, especially in our state councils, are looking at and getting better at. I know that I have, you know, a Facebook page, which is typically for my friends and family. I'm on LinkedIn. I Twitter a little bit, but mostly around event kind of thing. So I'm not sure that I'm the social media guru. You probably want to get Curtis Midkiff, our director of social media and engagement, to address that. But I just see it becoming more prominent. I see chapters using it to recruit members, to advertise meetings, to talk about, you know, how you can get engaged with a chapter. So I think it's wonderful. But I also hear from folks that it can be tough to manage, you know, and, you know, it's almost a full-time job sometimes to be on Facebook, to be on, you know, Twitter, to be, you know, how can you follow all that kind of stuff and still get your job done? So I think there's a happy balance you come up with. You just got to do what your own personal preferences are and kind of go that way.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll continue on with the conversation after a quick reset, everybody. Brian Wimpen might still hear from William Tincup. He might call in. So we're on with Susan Post from SHRM. I know. So we're on Susan Post from SHRM. And so kind of continuing on with that, I think the balance, I mean, this is a constant conversation that actually happens, is where's the balance with using the social technologies? Because it's really no different than how much time, you know, do I leave my email open, right? Because it's time management. If I leave my email open and as they ping in, I stop my thought process and I grab an email and answer an email, right? That's literally, that's all day long. I can literally kind of just, it's breadcrumbing focus all day long. It's like, oh, email, let me get that. Oh, email. Then you work for a little while, another email, and you never string together a good time of focus. I don't see it any differently than kind of the social technologies, and I've been working a little bit to kind of turn a bunch of it off for a few, you know, just at periods of hours each day so that it doesn't grab my attention with lots of interesting stuff that, you know, as productive as it might be, it's tough to start and, you know, start restart, right?
So I
just see it being the same as email. It's using the time management. It's the same as everything else. It's people walking in your desk. Sometimes you know, walking into your office. At times the door's got to be shut and you're just working on things where people can't jump into your office. Especially, you know, you sit in a setting where you're not a home office and you've got people that just are dropping in to either say hi or, hey, can I ask a quick question? And it just is really difficult to string together time that you can focus on a project or just your thought process. So,
right.
And that's just going to be a constant battle. It's just more prevalent now because it's more probably socially acceptable because of mobile and just, you know, you're more dialed in. So I think that's going to be a challenge in the future is how do you put together uninterrupted times where you can focus. So.
Well, and what I hear from my volunteers, Brian, is that the, you know, on the flip side of that, it's not only can you know, do employees personally, are they able to balance it, but, you know, do organizations have a social media policy for, you know, how frequently and what sites are, you know, I see things change over the year. You know, everybody was afraid that people would just be, you know, shopping on Amazon.com the whole day. So, you know, they prevented certain types of sites. But, you know, social media is a way for people to stay in the loop on a lot of things, you know, to monitor what your kids are doing throughout the day or seeing what your competitors are doing. And, you know, I know that, you know, a lot of our volunteers will say, you know, SHRM's probably got, you know, all kinds of resources and tools on this, which we do, but I think it's an issue that employers are grappling with from a balanced perspective in terms of, you know, employees at work, you know, how much is too much and what type of information is relevant and work-worthy versus those types of things that should be done during your lunch or after hours or whatever. So I'm continuing to hear that as well.
Perfect. So what tell us a little bit about kind of the what you have on tap over the next few months relative to your schedule and getting people together, conferences, a little bit what's going on with you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to be at SHRM headquarters next week. We are coming in for some team meetings. We get together a couple of times a year, as you know, since I've mentioned our field services team is, you know, 10 folks located all across the U.S. So we're coming in to meet with our Senior Vice President, Bob Carr, who's going to have the other divisions and departments that report to him and just doing some, you know, kicking off some final plans for our 2013 goals and some opportunity for team building and getting together. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, living in upstate New York, I'm always excited to be going any place where there's warm weather, and there's a couple of trips that I'm going to be taking. Towards the end of February, we're going to be in Phoenix, and SHRM every year has what we call our Regional Council Summit. And we have our state councils, which are state-level affiliates, have state directors and elects that we bring to a location to have a, you know, kind of a brain-sparking session to talk about, you know, what we're all trying to accomplish and how we can help each other in 2013. This year, we're going to be in Phoenix, so I'm hoping it's going to be warm. Although my colleague Scott Farron, who's our field services director based in Arizona, sent us a picture of his neighbor's fountain, which was totally frozen solid. So, you know, I was hoping to, you know, bring my shorts, and I may be bringing my winter parka. I'm not sure. But we're looking to get forward to that. I mean, it's a great opportunity for our state council directors to just get together and share best practices. They've got access to SHRM staff in kind of a smaller group setting. And it's really a great opportunity to continue to work on, you know, the great partnerships that we have with our affiliates at the state level. And then I'm very fortunate. SHRM has got some great partnerships with education partners. And in early March, I'm going to be heading out to beautiful San Diego to the Center for Creative Leadership. They have a wide variety of leadership development programs, and I'm going to be participating in one of those for a week. So, you know, somebody's got to do it. I know it's, you know, they got to twist my arm to make me fly to places like Phoenix and San Diego. But, you know, I keep telling my husband, you know, honey, I got to do what I got to do to, you know, make sure that I'm performing well in this job. So, you know, I'll suck it up and go.
Glad you're taking one for the team on that deal. Somebody
yeah,
has
well,
to.
Well, you know, just so you know, this is also mixed in with, you know, the trips I do to visit my state. You know, Vermont is having a state council planning meeting on a Saturday next month. I'm going to be in Westchester for the New York State Council stuff. You know, so it is kind of a trade-off because there is some crazy weather and stuff that I have to drive through. But, you know, I figure if my volunteers are having a meeting, I got to be there. So, you know, kind of like
right.
The post office, through rain, through snow, you know, through the Philadelphia airport, whatever I need to do to get there.
I spend a lot of time
in Philadelphia, as you can imagine. So, well, we could have a whole show on that, Brian.
You know, love us from Philly. There is no doubt about
yeah.
it. Lots of character out of Philadelphia.
Oh, you know, that is a wonderful way to describe it. Yes, it does have character.
Yes, absolutely. So,
yeah.
Continuing on, tell us a little bit about the conferences. What's the next big conference? And I want to touch base a little bit on the SHRM annual and just kind of give us just a little bit, just kind of your thoughts on it, what you're excited about. But is there some other things between now and then, like big conferences that you can share with everybody?
Sure. Well, you know, as you know, we do a number of conferences every year. Our hugest conference, our biggest conference is of course the annual conference, which is going to be in Chicago in the end of June. But we do have our 2013 Employment Law and Legislative Conference. It's going to be mid-March, right in the D.C. area. This is a wonderful conference. There's all kinds of crazy legislative stuff going on, you know, within workplaces and HR, different types of things. And in addition to just what information general attendees get, we have a wonderful benefit. We bring our state legislative directors in. There's, you know, visits to Capitol Hill. We do some special briefings for them for things that they can help with at the state level to impact and affect what happens with the crazy legislation that gets passed to, impact workplaces. So that is coming up, and we're really looking forward to that. We also have our talent management conference, and that's going to be in Las Vegas, April 15th to the 17th. That focuses just on the things that, you know, folks need to do to recruit and retain top talent and, you know, increase employee engagement. That's such a huge thing. I do a little survey when I go to state conferences and just to see what's kind of top of mind for our HR folks and employee engagement, again, as the economy kind of decide, you know, is coming back. You want to be able to keep your top performers, but if they've been carrying, you know, a double workload because you had to cut back some positions and they don't see that coming back, but they see the company up the street that's just adding some stuff, what can you do to try to keep them on board and keep them in the fold? And then, of course, as you mentioned, our biggest conference is our annual conference and exposition, which is going to be in Chicago this year. We're psyched to be back in Chicago. It's such a great city. We'll be there June 16th to the 19th, and we've got just a number of great presenters that are lined up. Our keynoters, you know, we've got Dan Pink, who's going to be there. Blake Mykoski is, you know, he's the one that opened Tom's, that company that he now donates over 2 million shoes using a very basic, you know, for every set of shoe or pair of shoes he sells, he donates a pair to a child, you know, in a disadvantaged country around the world. I'm very excited to hear him. We also have Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is going to be there with Mark Kelly. So we're going to be very, very excited to hear from them. And, you know, one of the great things about the SHRM Annual Conference, in addition to the opportunity to network and share ideas with, you know, over 15,000 HR professionals from around the world, is that, you know, we have 150 concurrent sessions. If you have your PHR, SPHR, GPHR certification, you get a gazillion, well, probably not a gazillion, but a lot of recertification credits. And I'm always excited by whoever we bring in for our Tuesday night entertainment. And the young lady we've got coming on this year is Kelly Clarkson, who I have just loved ever since I saw her on American Idol. So, Brian, I know you usually, aren't you broadcasting live or something from annual? So I think, you know, you got to figure out how to meet Kelly, and I'd be happy to carry your microphone or your camera or whatever you need. So, you know.
Dude, I am all in on that. I was a little resistant at first as far as, Kelly Clarkson, you know, and then, so I've actually been listening and had some encouragement from some folks on some good friends and some folks on my team that I need to lighten up.
Yes.
And actually really like her. So you are more than welcome to carry the mic because somebody's going to have to do the talking because I might be slightly starstruck for like 2 seconds and then I'll kick into my mode and get as cool
there
as
we
I
go.
Can. So.
That's right. That's right.
Well,
no,
perfect.
But like I said, it's. So we're looking forward to seeing you out there. So.
Well, good. Absolutely. We are definitely, DriveThruHR is going to be all in. Y'all always take care of us from the media side. It's fantastic. Curtis, of course, Midkiff. It's so enjoyable. We cannot wait to go back to Chicago, and we're definitely looking forward to seeing and hearing from you. So we are out of time, but where can people connect with you, and then we're going to roll out some funky music.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm on Twitter at Susan Post Sherm, so you can get me there, or susan.post@sherm.org. So I would love to hear from you. And, Brian, thank you so much. You're a great partner of Sherm's, and we always enjoy talking with you. So thanks so much.
Well, Susan, too kind. Can't look forward to seeing you again. Good luck in all the travels, and we are out of here, folks.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
See ya.
All right. Take care.